The Bible is the inspired Word of God, revealing the mind of God to the world. Through our diligent study and examination of its teachings, we will learn all of the things God requires of us in order to receive His blessings. We invite you now to take your Bible and study along with our speaker, Kevin Beard, as Churches of Christ present Bible Talk.
If I were to tell you about a person who was full grown, let's say it's a man who's about 35 years of age, and to tell you that that person for all of his life had only eaten baby formula from the time that he was born until this very present day, the only thing he ever ate was baby formula. I'm not talking about baby food, I mean milk out of a bottle. Even to this day, this grown man drinks from a baby bottle. What would you think about that? You probably wouldn't believe me. And you'd have good reason not to, because it just doesn't make any sense that a full-grown person, first of all, would want to go his entire life drinking baby formula, and second, that a full-grown person would be able to live a healthy, full, productive life on such a diet. Now, think about an opposite scenario. What if I told you about a couple who just had their first baby, and they brought that baby home from the hospital, and the very first time that newborn baby cried because he was hungry, his mother got up and went to the kitchen, pulled some chicken out of the refrigerator and began to fry that chicken and to peel some potatoes to make some mashed potatoes and put on some green beans and some peas and corn on the cob and all of this and then set that baby down at the table and put a plate of all of that food in front of him, expecting him to eat it and feed himself. Well, once again, you wouldn't believe me, and you'd have every right not to believe that either, because that's just a ridiculous scenario, isn't it? If we were to hear about somebody who was doing that, whether it was the adult eating the baby formula or the parents feeding the baby solid food, we would say there's something seriously wrong if that were really to happen. And there really would be, wouldn't there? When we think about diets, we know that there are different types of food that are appropriate for people at different stages of their lives. We know that newborn babies are not capable of eating solid food. And while the fried chicken and mashed potatoes and green beans may be very tasty, that baby can't eat it. He doesn't have teeth to chew with. First of all, his system wouldn't be able to handle that kind of food in the second place, I'm sure. But at the same time, an adult has more nutritional needs than what baby formula would be able to provide. I'm no nutritionist, I'm no doctor or anything like that, but that just seems to be common sense that would tell us those kinds of things. We know there are different kinds of foods that are appropriate for people at different stages of their lives. Now, think about that, and as you do, let's be reminded of the fact that the Bible sometimes uses the idea of food to compare to our spiritual nourishment. For example, in His Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You see, there's a comparison made there and in many other places in Scripture too, for the desire that we have to grow spiritually. And it's compared to physical hunger, because just as we must feed on physical food to grow physically, we must feed on spiritual food to grow spiritually. And the spiritual food that God has provided for us is His Word. His Word. Over in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, Peter said, "As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." God's Word is spiritual nourishment for us. Now, let's go back to that picture we painted at the outset. Different kinds of food for different people at different stages of their lives. The Bible kind of plays on that idea in some places as well. For example, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul here was addressing one of the problems the church in Corinth had, the problems of their division, and some wanting to follow after this preacher and some wanting to follow after that preacher, and they were dividing up into different groups because of it. The cause of that problem was their spiritual immaturity. And notice what he says about it. This is 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 1. "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able." Here were people who were spiritually immature and thus not able to receive what Paul called solid food. Now, what I learned from that is that there are some portions of Scripture that are appropriate for people of a less advanced spiritual maturity, and there are other portions of Scripture that are more appropriate for people of more advanced spiritual maturity. And there's some similarities there between that kind of picture and the physical food that we eat. So let's think about the differences and similarities between milk and meat and see if there are some comparable ideas expressed about God's Word too. First of all, when we think about milk and meat, we think about the fact that there are some similarities between the two when we think of their content. If you just break down milk and meat into their basic nutritional elements, you would see that there are many similarities between the two. Both of them are going to provide protein. Both of them are going to provide fat. Both of them are going to provide some of the same kinds of vitamins and minerals and so on. From a nutritional standpoint, they are similar in their makeup. And we'd expect that because both milk and meat are designed for our nutritional benefit, to provide sustenance to our bodies. And our bodies require just the basic kinds of things when it's all broken down. So whatever the form of the food is, whether it's milk or meat or vegetables or fruits or whatever it may be, the same basic fundamental building blocks of nutrition are present in whatever type of food you're talking about. Now, that principle is one that really carries across lots of different kinds of areas of life. When we talk about nutrition, when a baby's drinking his milk, he's getting some of those basic fundamental things. When he grows up and he becomes an older child and then an adult and starts eating solid food and different types of more complex food, there's still that fundamental basic building blocks of nutrition that he's taking into his body. They're just in a different form, but the fundamental similarities are still there. When we look at a child's education, for example, a child in kindergarten or first grade who is learning how to read starts out by learning the alphabet, learning what sounds the letters make and how those letters go together to make words, and then how those words go together to make sentences, and how those sentences go together to make stories, and so on. And so a child in the early years of his education focuses on those fundamental things. An older child is going to study more advanced kinds of things and be reading more complicated types of literature, but the fundamentals of reading haven't changed. Math is the same way. In those early years, he'll learn how to add and subtract, how to count, and what the numbers are, and so on. But later in his education, he may be studying things like algebra or geometry or calculus, much more complex. But the fundamentals are the same. So what point can we learn about that from this comparison to the Word of God? Are there some things in God's Word that are more fundamental, more basic, more easy to understand? Yes. And there are some things that are more difficult and complex, but regardless of those differences, it's all God's Word. Paul tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And this is the point that I want us all to be clear on as we think about this comparison. Whether we're talking about things and describing them as more basic and fundamental and elementary in nature, or whether we're talking about something more complex and more difficult to understand, it's all God's Word, and because it's all God's Word, it's intended for our spiritual good. And we need to focus on all of it. we need to respect all of it as having come from God. You see, we go back to that statement we mentioned a minute ago from 1 Peter 2, verse 2, where Peter said, "As newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." His point there was talking about our desire for what God has provided. Yes, he uses milk, but he's using it there in a different sense from the way that we're using it in general in this discussion. He's simply talking about the desire that's there. How strongly does a baby desire milk? Well, that's the most important thing in the world to him. So it should be with us and God's Word. Just like milk provides nourishment for a baby physically, so the Word of God provides nourishment for us spiritually. And whether it's something simple or something complex, something that we might compare to milk or something we might compare to solid food, it's still God's Word. It still has been inspired by Him. It still is designed to bring about our spiritual growth and development and maturity. And thus, we need to develop that strong desire. Remember, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We need to look to be filled by the Word of God and respect all of it as coming from God. Not to look at some of it and say, "Well, that's too simple for me to waste my time on." Or to look at something and say, "That's too complex. I can't ever understand that," and neglect it always. No, it's all the Word of God. But as we think about that Word in comparison to what Paul talked about there in 1 Corinthians 3, how that he gave the people of Corinth milk because they were not able to handle solid food, there is an idea in that there are certain parts of Scripture that are more basic and fundamental and elementary, and others that are more complex. And so, when we move from thinking about the content of milk and meat to thinking about the composition of milk and meat, we see there's a difference there. Yes, milk and meat have many similar nutritional components to them, but they're put together in very different ways. The substance of milk is very much different from that of solid food. Milk is a liquid. It's very easy to ingest and very easy to digest. That's why it's appropriate for babies. Solid food, on the other hand, is much more complex in its makeup. It requires much more to eat and to digest and so on. The composition of them is very much different. And so you have different textures, different flavors, different all sorts of different things when you look at all of these different types of physical food. Does that same principle hold true with the spiritual food of the Word of God? I think we can say that in a sense, it does. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 6, because I think that's the idea that is built upon here in the first couple of verses of this chapter. Verses 1 and 2 of Hebrews 6 says, "Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment." Leaving behind the elementary principles, he says, and going on to something else. Doesn't that suggest to us the idea that there are some things that are taught in God's Word that are more basic, more fundamental? You think about taking a person who's not a Christian and who knows very little about the Bible. Can you take that person and expect him to develop a faith in God and a full knowledge of God's Word by dealing with the most difficult, most complex things first? Well, of course not. You see, those elementary principles are presented in the Bible in such a way that they're really not that difficult to grasp and comprehend. You think about what the Bible teaches us about Jesus Christ. It tells us that He is the Son of God, and it presents evidence for that. The fact that He was born of a virgin according to prophecy, and He fulfilled many prophecies not only by His birth but by His life, and the things that He did, His death, and so on. You think about the miracles that He performed and how that all of those miracles were designed to show Him to be the Son of God just as He claimed to be. And you think about His resurrection from the dead. All of this evidence is presented to us in God's Word to prove to us what it claims about Jesus. Now, these are really pretty simple and fundamental to grasp. Either you believe what the Bible presents, the evidence it presents about the nature of Jesus and His being the Son of God, or you don't. It just simply asks you to believe that He's the Son of God and presents you with the evidence. You think about some of those fundamental doctrines, like repentance. The fact that the Lord demands us all to repent. Well, what does that mean? Well, repentance simply means having a complete change of your heart and mind and your attitude in life that results in a change of your direction of life. That's a pretty simple concept to grasp. It only makes sense that God would expect us to repent. Think about the doctrine of baptism. That the Bible teaches us that we must be baptized in order to be saved. That when we act upon our faith by obeying that command to be baptized, that's when God forgives our sins. These are pretty simple concepts to grasp, and they're presented in a very straightforward way that's really very easy to understand. Those are some of the foundational, elemental principles that we must grasp in order to enter into a relationship with God. Now, those kinds of things might be considered some of those elementary principles. But I want you to think about something the Apostle Peter said toward the close of his second epistle. In 2 Peter 3, in verses 15 and 16, Peter said, "And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of the Scriptures." Paul had some things in the things he wrote that were hard to understand, Peter said. And what I agree with Peter, some of the things Paul wrote were very deep, very complex. You look at the book of Romans, for example. Some people want to say the book of Revelation is a difficult book to understand. In many ways it is, but the book of Romans can be very much more difficult, in my personal opinion, to understand than much of the book of Revelation is. The book of Romans is a tremendously deep and complex theological discussion about salvation, and there are some things in there that you really have to work at to wrap your mind around and to understand properly. Some difficult things. Peter said those who are untaught and unstable, these would be spiritually immature people, that those kinds of people can take things like that and twist them to their own destruction. What is that saying? That's saying those people are not ready for that kind of thing. Back there in 1 Corinthians 3, when Paul said, "I fed you with milk and not with solid food because you were not yet able to bear it." You see, that principle is there. When we think about the fact that babies are not suited for solid food, and therefore we feed them with milk, but then that once those babies begin to mature, they're able to handle more and more complex kinds of food until they can eat anything that an adult would eat eventually. We see the same kind of progression takes place spiritually with us. In the beginning of our faith, as we're first learning about Christ, we need to focus on those things that are simpler and more basic and easy to grasp as we are developing and as we're laying a foundation. But then, as we mature and as we advance, we need to take that foundation and begin to build upon it. We don't leave it behind. We don't forget about it. We don't cast it away, but rather we build upon it. And we begin to develop more and more. And so as we think about the composition of milk and meat, though the nutritional qualities and properties of the physical food is similar in some ways, the composition of it is very much different. Now, one more comparison to make, and that regards the consumption. What's the difference in consuming milk and meat? Well, milk as a liquid is very readily consumable. If you are ready to feed a bottle to a baby, the baby's hungry, all you have to do is take that milk. You've probably warmed it up ahead of time. You put it in the bottle, you give it to the baby, he drinks it down. Not anything complicated at all in that. All he has to do is just suck the milk out of the bottle and swallow. Solid food, though, is very much different. The milk is all ready. Just warm it up a little bit so the baby will take it better. But solid food, you've got to take that meat and you have to prepare it. You have to cook it. Whether you're going to grill it or roast it or fry it or boil it or whatever it may be, you have to cook that meat first. And the vegetables too. And then when you serve it, you have to take a knife and fork and cut that meat up into bite-sized pieces, or take a fork and you take bite-sized portions of the vegetables or whatever type of solid food that you're eating, and then you have to chew it. Milk, you just take it in your mouth, swallow it down. Not so with the solid food. Consuming these things is very much different, and it's for that reason that you give one to a baby and you give the other to more mature people. Babies are not yet suited for eating solid food. They don't have what they need. They don't have any teeth to chew with. Their digestive systems are not yet developed and complex enough to handle all of those kinds of complex foods and so on. They have to grow. They have to develop. And so it is with us spiritually. As we think about consuming God's Word, we need to understand that when we look at people who are spiritually immature, they're not able to handle some of the things that we can find in God's Word. Like Paul said back there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, they were not able to bear those things. Now, spiritually immature people need more simple, more elementary principles taught to them. And when we're talking about someone who's a new Christian or a young person, a child who's growing up, we know that those basic, fundamental, elementary principles are exactly what they need, and that's what we need to focus on. That's what they need to focus on. But we need to be careful that we don't become complacent with those kinds of things, and as time goes by, that we remain content to focus only on those things. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 tells us about some people who were guilty of that very thing. It says there, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." See, here's a case where people had been Christians for a long enough period of time that they should have grown in their knowledge and in their ability to study and to understand the various things of God's Word that are more complicated and more complex. But they had failed to grow. Now, there is nothing at all wrong. In fact, it is completely appropriate to feed young children and young Christians with a very simple spiritual diet. They need that. They need to develop that foundation. They need to master those elementary principles. But as time goes by, they need to increase that spiritual diet. The teaching that they focus on needs to become more and more complex. They need to build upon that foundation, like we said a moment ago, not leaving it behind, not ignoring it, not forgetting about it, but building on it. You see, God wants us to master His Word. Now, His Word is such that it is always going to provide something new for us. Every time you come to God's Word and you study it diligently, you're going to come across something that you haven't seen before, I imagine. I know that that's pretty much the way it is when I study God's Word. I look at something and I see something in there I've never noticed before. I look at something and I see it a way I've never seen it before. Some new insight. But you see, that kind of thing can only happen the more we study and the more deeply that we study. And so, because God's Word is suited for everybody of every spiritual age, we can see that there are portions of it that are perfectly designed and suited for those who are immature in the faith, either because of their physical age and they're just still children, or because of the fact that they are new to the faith. They have those parts of God's Word that we might compare to milk, like for a baby. Those kinds of things that are simpler and easier to understand, much more straightforward in their teaching, and thus they can focus on those things and master those basic principles and elements of the Word of God. But then as they grow, they can dig more deeply into those more complex teachings of God's Word. And as their ability to understand and to comprehend and to interpret God's Word correctly grows, they can begin to feed on those richer and deeper portions of God's Word, which will only help to enrich them and strengthen their faith more and more and more. This is the way God's designed His Word. We have the Bible as the perfect source of spiritual nourishment for us. Let's go back one more time to that statement I love so much that Peter made, 1 Peter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Yes, there are some parts of God's Word that are more simple, more basic and fundamental. There are some parts of God's Word that are more complex. Let's focus on those things that are appropriate for us where we are spiritually now. But let's understand the importance of growing beyond where we are now. Whether you are a brand new Christian or whether you've been a Christian for 50 years, you need to be seeking to grow. And the only way you're going to grow is if you feed on this Word. So develop a strong desire for this Word that's comparable to the desire that a baby has for milk. That desire that says there's nothing more important to me than getting the spiritual nourishment that I need, and the only place that I can find it is in the Word of God. I'm so thankful that God gave us the Bible in such a way as He did, that we can study it for a lifetime and never exhaust all of its teachings, that we can feed on it from the first day we ever learn anything about it till the day that we die and find in it nourishment for our growth every time we come to it. God's Word is great. It's living. It's powerful. Let's devote ourselves to studying it and living according to it.